This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. How are you this afternoon, David?
I'm all right. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. How does that feel when that clock goes to zero on Sunday after overtime and it's 29s up on the board? Have you ever been involved in a tie before?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was talking about I've been in one other tie, and the other tie was against the Vikings in 2013 on a noon
game. Right. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot all about that. You guys had tied once before. That Aaron said it's just barely better than a loss. Is that how you feel about a tie?
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty good description of it.
You know what's pretty crazy is watching you play week in and week out and having you on the radio show week in and week out. I think what I've realized is I've taken you for granted, David, and I apologize. I mean,
what do you mean?
Because I was watching the game back on the DVR, and I literally verbally out loud to myself with nobody else in the room said, damn, he's really good. And it was...
You just realized this?
No, I think I knew it, obviously, that he was really good. But for whatever the reason watching that game, it really just obviously stood out at that point in time. When you're on an offensive line like this, and you guys are now finally all playing together as a unit for a couple of weeks, after not having played together in preseason at all, how long does it take for the chemistry of this line to kind of get its mojo going here and get itself in sync?
I think the chemistry comes pretty quick, honestly. I think the thing that takes a little more time to develop is the characteristic, you know, what kind of character and what kind of attitude we're going to embody and bring week in and week out. And the only way you can establish that is on Sundays. So obviously you want to work on it and sharpen it during the week, but the only way you can really execute it is on Sundays.
What kind of character is it that you're trying to establish as an offensive line? What would you say is the signature of your offensive line?
Honestly, I mean, you know, that kind of forms itself through your play, but there's some swear words that I won't use.
See, the first word that came into my brain.
I would like to characterize the offense. Offensive line.
My first word was, I think I would want the word nasty to be associated with the offensive line. You like that word?
I mean, yeah, but I like some other words that I'm going to be.
That if we were satellite radio, you could tell us.
This is a family-friendly radio show, too.
Yeah, it is.
Is it hard to sort of have that nasty, aggressive mentality? And not just the style of offense that you guys play, David, with as much passing the ball as you do, but I mean that's where the NFL has gone in 2018, with the ball flying all over the place. And we've talked about it with you before, and not just you, but other offensive linemen on the show. You guys you get lathered up and you get that nasty going when you are running the ball regularly. Is it hard to sort of develop and build that character when you're dropping back into pass protection four plays out of every six?
Yeah, honestly, no way to cut it. Yes, it is hard, but I think you know, one thing you can kind of a characteristic you can have or you know, the nastiest you can bring is on making a guy quit in his pass rush. You know, he gets so fatigued and so tired, and it's like someone continuously running into a brick wall every time, to where when you're in the huddle and you look at him and his hands are on his hips and he's like, I don't know what else I can do to get through this guy. And then you kind of just look at him, kind of have a little smirk in your face. That is the nastiest in the pass protection side of it. So when you see and actually feel a guy kind of give up.
That's a beautiful thing. Nicely done.
Obviously, as you can tell, I've been in that situation a couple times because we like to pass the ball.
Obviously, you can tell Sparky and I never have. We've never physically dominated another human being in the way that you're talking about.
No, my two-year-old gets the best of me most nights. hey, so when you are an offensive lineman and you hear people kind of criticizing the rules as far as how to hit a quarterback and what's legal and what's not legal, like all we've heard this since Sunday for the last couple of days is taking over sports talk radio, taking over the talking heads on TV. We hear all the defensive players talk about it. I really haven't heard any of the offensive players give their thoughts on it. So do you think they're overprotecting the quarterback in the NFL right now?
Yes, absolutely.
I got to say, I didn't think you were going to say that.
I just think with, like, the playoffs, I mean, I really don't know what else you'd want from somebody. But that, to me, is like, and I've read people say, you know, this is, you know, this is what the NFL is going to use as a teaching tape, clinical teaching tape. To me, that's, like they say, clinical teaching tape of what not to do. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. Like, the timing is perfect, head across. You know, you can't get a guy to the ground without trying to lift him up off of it. I think it's getting a little out of hand, but I think everything comes to a balance. Kind of everything's going to come full circle. I think we'll kind of figure it out. But obviously, I think there's some wrong time with it.
Did you think that the penalty called on a similar play in the first half where Aaron Rodgers was taken down, did you think that was going a little bit too far with these new rules that protect the quarterback?
Honestly, I didn't see how it was playing.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think it comes down to this. I think it comes down to how the timing in which the player hits the quarterback. So if the ball's coming out of his hands and he's already left his feet or begin the tackling motion, I think it's fair game. But if the ball's out and you're still running and then ball out and then you continue to load up and then strike the quarterback, that's where I think the rules of protection should start coming into play. You know, how aggressive was it? You know, did he put his weight into him and go into the ground, all that stuff? Because then that's a hit that really shouldn't have even happened. Now, if you're in the motion of throwing the ball, and you get hit, I mean, I think that should be game on.
See, and from my standpoint on this, I think it's pretty easy to understand what's going on here. You've got a ton of money invested in these quarterbacks. You had, what, $90 million invested in Kirk Cousins or whatever it is. You had over $100 million in guaranteed money invested in Aaron Rodgers in that football game. And these owners, even though the Packers don't fall into that class necessarily, Mark Murphy, I guess, represents the Packers, but they don't want to lose their investments due to injury to their quarterbacks, and that's what this is all about. They don't, I'm going to say this, but they don't really care if a cornerback ends up getting hurt or a linebacker or whatever, but if that quarterback goes down with all that money invested, that kills them. It kills them at the end of the day because now their fan base, for the most part, because let's face facts, the backup quarterbacks in this league aren't the starters. That's why they're the backups. The project of the league goes down if these starting quarterbacks are hurt.
Yeah, I think it takes a dip anytime you go across the league in positions, but obviously I think the biggest dip is going from a, you know, perennial quarterback to a backup quarterback, but that's just the nature of the game. That's how I look at it. That's how it's been around, you know, when I started watching it, and it's just you just don't want to see it go too far. Like, obviously you want player protection, and I think there needs to definitely be an emphasis on that they have taken, but you also don't want to start taking away the integrity of the game. And you know, I just don't want to get to a point where, you know, then where's my job coming to play? Because my job is to protect the quarterback.
Right. I think instead of coming up with all these new rules, more people should employ David Bakhtiaris, the David Bakhtiaris of the world, and your quarterbacks would be more safe. You often hear people with similar sentiments to what Sparky just said, though, David, which is all these rules are created to protect the quarterback, and there aren't really any rules to protect the rest of you guys out there on the field. I've heard that sentiment from a few players talking about that play on Kirk Cousins on Sunday. Is there anything going on in the trenches where when you're playing on a Sunday, you're like, man, I wish there was a rule for this. Like, my well-being is at risk every week because of X, Y, and Z, and there should be a rule to protect me from that.
I mean, I would love to put rules to help me so I can, you know, increase my health and live a long life, but there is a certain part of the game that people enjoy that is violent, and you can't really take 100% injury away from that. Now, there are little things, like, obviously, like, I would love to have anything, you know, take out collisions with my head. That'd be great, but I mean, I don't know at this point in time if the NFL is ready to eventually get to that point. And hopefully with, you know, equipment that can pick up on that side to help protection. But, I mean, other than that, you know, the trenches are violent, and that's, you know, I like I said, I won't be employed if you take the violence out of the trenches.
Was there any sentiment about Anthony Barr going into this game? I really wasn't thinking about it all that much as a fan going into the game until I saw Rodgers having a conversation with Anthony Barr. I have no idea about what. Obviously, it was on television, so we couldn't hear it. But obviously, that must have still been in Rodgers' mind the first time these two apparently have had a conversation since that happened. Was there any talk of that before the game?
No. Nothing was really kind of discussed. Obviously, you know what he had did before, and you know, you want to obviously play hard against an opponent, but you also want to play within the rules and within the whistle. You never want to have anything to go that can hold anything outside the whistle that can also obviously be a detriment to your team. But you know, you definitely want to play hard, and that just kind of gives us an extra emphasis to want to block him that much harder, I guess.
I want to go back to this last game, and then obviously the Bears game. After Rodgers gets hurt and now is essentially on a leg and a half at this point and isn't as mobile maybe as he's definitely not as mobile as he is when he's 100%. As crazy as this is going to sound, does it kind of make your job a little bit easier because you know he's not going to be running around back there and you kind of have an idea of where he is and where you have to block?
The only thing that would make it easier is if he doesn't try to hold the ball as long as he does without the movement. Because if he tries to have the same time clock on certain plays without being able to move and manipulate defenders, that's really tough. Because then you're going to hold the ball just long, but you can't really kind of help slither away from an opponent. I mean, that's tough. But, I mean, if you stand there and the ball's going quicker because of it, I mean, oof, I'd love that. I think any offensive lineman would kill to have that, and certain offensive lines do have that in the league, which is very nice.
There were times early in that game where Rodgers, I swear to God, I was doing 1-1,000, 2-1,000 to myself. I rewound it. I did it again. It was like five and a half seconds where he's literally back there patting the ball, looking for that open receiver, and you guys are blocking your tail end off trying to get there. I can't even – I don't know mentally as an offensive lineman like what you're thinking as that whole thing is going on. I mean, in your head, are you going, come on, dude, throw the ball. Come on, dude, I can't hold much longer. Throw the ball. Like, what's going through your mind at that point? Are you so focused on the defensive lineman that you're really not even thinking about what Aaron's doing?
I just – honestly, I kind of just zone out, and I'm like in the block for infinity. That's our coach, my line coach always says, you know, block to infinity. And I just, I'm sitting, I'm like, I just don't want my guy to be the guy that tackles Aaron.
Right.
Because obviously, you know, everyone knows that he has an injury. I'm like, I don't want him to even deal with one. So I can just keep my guy away from him. You know, I can rest on Monday. Think about it like that, David. Just, you can rest on Monday. Right now, you have no time to rest.
You've mentioned a couple times in this conversation about that fine line between playing the game violently, which is the nature of the sport, and being malicious or trying to hurt somebody. Do you guys feel like the Vikings sometimes cross that line in the way that they go after 12?
You know, I don't know. The only way I can answer that is if I was in their Monday through Saturday meetings and practice and hear their philosophies and stuff. But there is a fine line, and you know, you can call certain teams dirty or whatnot, but you know, it's definitely a gray area, and it's definitely a very fine line where you kind of be splitting hairs.
Hey, man, you know, we all know you want some type of shampoo deal. We know that. You've been on that for about a year now. But, dude, you got a cheese deal? Is that what's going on here
cheese
on Twitter?
Deal?
Or are you just a fan of Ellenbox cheese?
No, I mean, Ellenbox cheese is great, and I had a great time working with them.
Yeah, you got a deal. That's what I thought. I saw that tweet. I'm like, dude's got a cheese deal and never told us. Come on, man. Ellenbox cheese, huh?
I mean, did you see it? I mean, I literally, they filmed me just breaking things. Like, I got to be a bull in a china shop. It was like the greatest thing ever.
Oh, that's awesome.
I didn't clean anything up after. So I go break some stuff, say some couple lines, tackle people, and leave.
Speaking of breaking stuff, and this is at a tailgate party, is how the whole thing plays out here. I'm going to show it to Robin.
I haven't seen this yet.
Knocked
no, I'm
the beer
it
out,
now.
Throws a cooler, just goes absolutely crazy.
Oh, this looks like so much fun.
Did you see the Buffalo Bills tailgate parties that they've outlawed? What was going on at those Buffalo Bills tailgate parties?
Throwing each other through tables?
That were on fire.
Yeah, I've been up to date. Those, they are quite entertaining, and I think the last thing they should have done is try to outlaw breaking tables at tailgates, because that just honestly adds fuel to the fire sometimes at this point, literally. Those events, I think it's awesome. Go have some fun, Bills Mafia.
David, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you weren't a guy whose physical well-being wasn't an investment to the Green Bay Packers, you strike me as the type of dude who you and your buddies might put each other through tables. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're not. the only problem that we would ever run into is my friends act tough, but when push comes to shove, I don't know if he'd be okay with me choke slamming him through a table. I'd have to liquor him up significantly.
And I'm assuming none of your buddies could pick you up and put you through a table. I'm guessing you don't have anybody that size other than your fellow offensive linemen.
No, I would be the hammer in this situation. They would all be my nails.
That's always what you want in those situations, and usually are that on the football field as well. That's Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari, our guest every Tuesday at 4:35 here on the Wendy's Big Show. David, always appreciate it, man. We'll talk again next week.
Yes, sir. Good to have him on.
Absolutely. And he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935. I knew he was a table-breaking type of dude.
No.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.